1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. This is Your Turn, a live call-in show featuring spirited discussion and debate about issues that matter to the community. Stay with us to hear what Northwest Florida thinks. Better yet, call in at 623-1330 and tell us what you think. It's Your Turn here on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. Now, here's the host of Your Turn.
Good afternoon. My name is Renee Giacchino. I'm Corporate Counsel for the Center for Individual Freedom. As always, you can learn more about my organization by visiting our website at www.cfif.org. I'll be the host of this program the next 2 hours, the program called Your Turn, which I've dubbed Meeting Nonsense with Common Sense. We're going to talk about a very hot issue that's on everyone's minds these days, and that is health care reform, Obama reform. It goes by a lot of different names. And my first guest is considered one of America's foremost healthcare entrepreneurs. He is the son of a truck driver and JCPenney clerk. He spent his career working to provide innovative, affordable, high-quality healthcare services by emphasizing a patient-centric approach to cost and care. He's the founder of two healthcare providers, Columbia HCA Corporation, Columbia Hospital Corporation, and Sultanic Corporation, and he currently serves as chairman of Sultanic, which builds and operates innovative, cost- and service-conscious urgent care facilities throughout our great state of Florida right here. He also is the founder of an organization called Conservatives for Patients' Rights. That's a name hopefully a lot of you are familiar with, at least those folks who watch television, because they've been running some fantastic ads in an effort to try and educate us, the general public, about our rights and what we ought to be looking for, asking for, and demanding with this Obamacare. Please welcome to Your Turn the founder of the organization, Conservatives for Patients' Rights, Rick Scott. Rick, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for the invitation, Renee.
Well, first of all, if you would please, how can we direct people who happen to be sitting at their computer to your website where they can learn more about Conservatives for Patients' Rights?
You go to cprights.org, and probably one of the most interesting things, and you can sign up to get daily updates, but also there's a section on there that has some videos of patients and physicians talking about the UK and the Canadian healthcare system, and that's under... You can either get on the cprrights.org website, or you can get on facesofgovernmenthealthcare.com website, either one.
Okay, and one of the things that your organization is doing, well, I mean, you've been accused of doing, which I think this, you know, kudos to you. They say you're swift boating Obama's national health care plan. I mean, it's so interesting that that became a verb, swift boating. But
right.
One of the things you're really trying to do is educate people about what this really means, and what it means when we talk about the conservative principles that we, you know, many folks want to make sure are applied when we look at Obama's national health care plan. Can you give us a sense of what the platform is from which you approach, you know, mainly some of these ads that people may be seeing on television?
Well, our whole job is exactly what you said, is to try to educate Americans so we make a good, informed decision about what's going to happen on health care. So the first thing we did was, in the first part of March, we put out a website, and we put up four pillars. The first pillar is choice. You have to have the right to choose your own doctor and to choose the health plan that fits your needs, not some government-mandated plan that might have mandates that you don't need and might cost more than what you can afford to pay. Second, you've got to be in a position to shop and compare. If all providers post their prices and their results, then you can pick the best provider at the best price. Third, 45% of Americans that don't have insurance in any 12-month period of time are just between jobs. So if you owned your own health care plan policy, that wouldn't happen. So we should get, as individuals, the same tax breaks as employers get, so we can get our own health care policies and own them, so it doesn't matter where we work. And the fourth is, we will never control health care cost. And our biggest problem in this country is health care is more expensive than we'd like it to be, and it's that way because we overutilize it. So we've got to take care of ourselves. We've got to eat right. We've got to exercise. We've got to keep our weight off, and we've got to not smoke. So if we do those four pillars, choice, competition, accountability, and personal responsibility, then healthcare costs will come down, and we'll continue to have the freedom we have today to see the doctor we want, make our healthcare decisions the way we want to make them.
Well, on the issue of, you know, and I want to look at each one of those pillars individually, although some, you know, certainly weave into one another, but on the issue of, you know, the taxability and how we ought to be able to go out there, the competition part of it, shop and compare. What is your opinion on this idea that's been floating around Congress lately of taxing employee health care benefits to raise money for an overhaul of the health system?
Well, if the two big issues are, one, it costs too much, and two, there are individuals that don't have insurance that would like to have insurance. If we tax health insurance, the odds are then employers are going to cut back on providing health insurance. And let's think who it's going to impact the most. What they're talking about is either taxing all health benefits or taxing so-called Cadillac health insurance policies. Well, who has the better health insurance policies? Union members have better health insurance policies typically. Government employees have better health insurance policies typically. And then if you think about it, a Cadillac, something might be a Cadillac plan in North Dakota, that same price might be a very small and not a Cadillac plan in a more expensive area like New York City. So it's, but the biggest thing I think is if we decide to do this, we're going to increase the uninsured. We're not going to decrease the uninsured.
Yeah, I think that's the real smell test. I mean, if all of a sudden you're telling an employer and or an employee, hey, you know what, that benefit that you've had or that you've given your employees is all of a sudden going to be taxed, I mean, I can see the answer. Hey, folks, guess what? You want to lose your job or you want to lose your benefits? We're going to cut your benefits. Guess what? Now we have even more folks who are uninsured. Let's talk about President Obama. Isn't it true that he opposed this idea on the campaign trail? And if so, why the flip-flop?
Well, absolutely. He opposed this. John McCain suggested something similar to that and with a credit. So now the problem is, and I think the reason why there's discussion about doing it now is they cannot figure out how to pay for this. So they're talking about taxing sugar drinks. They're talking about taxing health benefits. So they're trying to figure out how they're going to pay for this, because if you look at history, and probably the best history is let's look at Massachusetts, what's happened there, because the things that they're thinking about are very close to what they've done in Massachusetts, and their costs have skyrocketed since the Massachusetts plan came into existence. And on top of that, there was a study that came out on Thursday that said they have the highest, Boston has the longest wait time to see a specialist of any city in the country. So the wrong things are happening.
Absolutely. That's not a model that I would like our government to follow, or anyone for that matter. Do you mind if we take a call?
Sure.
Go ahead, AJ. It's your turn.
Yes. I want to ask my question. This Obama plan is basically will lead to socialized health care, which people are not going to like in the long run. And my biggest fear is this, because we got a bunch of sellouts in Congress and the Senate, I have a sneaky feeling they're going to get this passed by what they call the midnight sessions. And this is what people don't realize. So I'm wondering if there's going to be vast grassroots organizations that are going to tell these so-called sellouts, you know, do this, you're going to pay, we're going to make sure life becomes miserable for you. I'm so afraid that's going to happen, unfortunately, because right now we have a socialist up there running this country, and he's going to push his agendas by hook or by crook.
Well,
that's what I wanted to ask you.
Thanks.
Well, here's the risk. One thing they're talking about doing is having a government plan that will compete with the private sector. Now, if you just think about it on the surface, more competition you'd think is very good, and you could argue that. The other side is when government is the competitor, they set all the rules, and they can use the tax dollars to underprice things. No different than we're dealing with that issue in Florida right now with Citizens Property Insurance, where they underpriced this, they were underpriced as compared to companies like State Farm, and now State Farm can't make money and is leaving the state. So, and if that happens, then the theory would be that the private health care plans will not be able to compete, and they will be out of business, and so basically you'll either be on Medicare, you'll be on Medicaid, or you'll be on a government plan, which means we have a single-payer system. So, and in a single-payer system, we will, you know, if you look at history, look at the other countries like the UK and Canada, they run out of money, so they have to start rationing care, and we have significant waits and denial of cancer drugs and things like that. So now the issue of whether they'll do it overnight is that they can do it through reconciliation, which would only require 51 votes in the Senate instead of the normal 60 votes. And in theory, they could do that with all the Democrats and get a bill passed very quickly with very little debate. Now the goal, is my understanding, is the first week of June or the second week of June, both the House and the Senate will come out with their plans, and the President has set forth an agenda or a schedule of trying to get these different both the House and the Senate to pass their bills by the end of July. So it looks like this is going to happen very rapidly. So the key is going to be everybody needs to understand the issues and let their congressmen and senators exactly know what they think about each of these issues.
And is there a way for them to do that by going to your website? Again, we are talking to Rick Scott. He's the founder of Conservatives for Patients' Rights. If they go to your website, cprrights.org, have you got an action?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have an action. You can contact your senator and congressman. You can contribute. So absolutely.
Well, great, AJ.
It's very important for people to understand the issues and call them. I mean, if you believe in government-run health care, you ought to do it. I'm telling people, get informed.
Well, you know, one of the things that's very frustrating for me on this timetable that you lay out, it really seems like we're trying to rush this through. We're trying to cram this down everybody's throat. And nobody is really, in my opinion, looking at the big picture. I mean, you talk about one of your four pillars being accountability. And I think accountability starts at the patient level. I mean, I think it starts with patients who are willing to say, okay, this is what I'm willing to give up to get health insurance. This is what I'm willing to give up so that everybody gets health insurance. This is what I'm not willing to get up. But also, you know, I would like to see, you know, them really plan this all out. If you are going to get health care insurance from our government for free, by gosh, we're going to put you to work in our parks, and you're going to pick up trash in the parks, and you're going to paint fences, and this is not going to be, quote, free. We are going to put you to work to get this health insurance. I mean, where's the incentive otherwise to get up and do anything if the government just continues to hand things out? The other side of this, and I'd like your opinion on this quickly before we have to go to break, and we will come back with break. I know we have got lots of calls on hold for you, is, you know, what about the tort lawyers? Isn't that a part of this puzzle that we ought to be talking about right now before we cram Obamacare down everybody's throats?
We absolutely need to look at our tort laws and make sure that, one, that we're not spending a lot of money just to pay to tort lawyers. At the same time, you know, we clearly want to make sure our physicians and our hospitals do the right thing and don't have malpractice. But we can't have a significant portion of the, if there's something that somebody does wrong, go to the lawyer rather than to the person that was hurt. So we clearly have to look at tort reform. We have to look at whether that's causing a lot of medicine to be practiced that we don't need. So, we have to focus on, let's think of it, name a government program that has reduced costs. There, I can't think of one, and that's our biggest issue here. We've got to figure out how to get the cost down, and it's not more government.
That's right. We are talking with Rick Scott. He's the founder of Conservatives for Patients' Rights. You've seen those wonderful ads they've been running on television. Look them up at cprights.org. When we come back from our quick break, we're going to take a call from Randy, and we're also going to ask Rick questions like, does Obamacare spell the end of the free market, and will the public option that they're talking about spell the end of private health insurance? Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short break.
Now, back to your turn on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. The phone lines are open, so call in and join the conversation at 623-1330.
If you've just tuned in, we're talking with former Columbia HCA Healthcare Association CEO Rick Scott. He is the founder of a new organization. It's a group called Conservatives for Patients' Rights. To learn more about them, you can visit them on the web at cprights.org. Okay, go ahead, Randy. It's your turn.
Good afternoon, Renee. And sir, I don't know how much knowledge you have of the inner workings of these politics behind the Obamacare plan, but there's something that seems to be getting ignored constantly in so many fields and so many ways, and that's Waxman-Markey. Hospitals in particular have extraordinarily high energy bills per square foot, and they have to. They can try to be as efficient as they want, but they're forced to do things like exhaust most of their air, keep their ORs at 60 degrees. When your annual energy bill, for instance, Sacred Heart Hospital here in Pensacola, when your annual energy bill is in the millions, Waxman-Markey is going to jack that up with cap and trade. You automatically are going to have a negative impact on affordability for health care. It's automatic. And Obama and his administration don't seem to be accounting for this in their numbers and figures when they're trying to say, well, this is what it'll cost and this is what it'll take. Have you guys got any insight into that?
Yeah, I'm not that familiar with cap and trade, but I was talking to a reporter the other day on Friday. She was out on the West Coast. And if we're going to get healthcare costs down, we've got to think about, it's not like there's somebody you just cut out. I mean, it's a job, it's You got to figure out how to make things more efficient. That's the only way you do it, or get people to take care of themselves better. So, absolutely, if the cap and trade is going to raise the cost for a hospital to do business, then absolutely it's going to be very difficult for them to get their cost down unless they have to lay off a nurse or lay off somebody like that, which is horrible for you as a patient.
Does Obama, I mean, do you have any insight into whether or not the Obama administration is even looking at this, or do they treat both of these programs as completely separate entities as if somehow they won't have an effect on one another?
Randy, I'm up there every week in this issue, and I'm meeting with congressional staff or congressmen or senators every week, and no one has brought that issue up to me. So I think it's clearly separated, and so I've not heard it at all.
But they have. I know it's not your area of expertise, then. Maybe you can start bringing this up. They have absolutely admitted, even Al Gore says, he knows that energy costs are going to go up with a cap-and-trade plan. So hospitals and school districts and these people, they've got to really be worried about it. But somehow or another, it's being kept out of the equation for future budgetary concerns.
Yeah, everything I've read about cap-and-trade is it's a significant tax increase for all Americans. And so we're going to have to, if they're going to get that passed, then we're going to have to figure out who's going to pay for it.
Yeah, and Randy, I think this goes to the point that we made right before the break. You know, why are they rushing through this? I don't think anyone has really taken a step back and looking at the big picture and all the pieces of the puzzle. I mean, they're not on the table. They're not even in the box at this point. You know, I mean, they need to be, excellent point, they need to be looking at cap and trade. They need to be looking at patient accountability instead of just giving hands out. How are we going to make people, you know, really step up to the plate if they want this insurance? They need to look at the tort reform laws. So we appreciate your call, Randy.
Thank you very much.
And I think, you know, certainly you found the right person to take this issue to Capitol Hill. I mean, Rick Scott, as he mentioned, is up there every single week. Rick, Pete Stark, you know, Obama's at one point go-to boy on this whole issue, was quoted as saying, "We have no mechanism to directly push the private sector to do delivery system reform and address rising costs." What that tells me is that, you know, they're looking to spell the end of the free market, and really this public option will probably spell the end of private health insurance. Is that what you're predicting as well?
Yeah, if you think about it, if the government can use their taxes, our money, and they can set the rules, then you'd think it won't be a level playing field. So they can say that a public plan will simply be more competition, but the odds are it'll push the private sector out. And as they push the private sector out, they'll be telling everybody how you're going to practice whatever. You know, one thing we haven't talked about is in the stimulus bill, they passed a national healthcare board called the Federal Council for Comparative Effectiveness Research. That's it. And a similar organization is called NICE, the National Institute for Comparative Effectiveness in the UK, and it sounds good that they're just going to do research to figure out the right way to practice medicine. At the same time, each of us are different, and I would rather my doctor and me decide what I need rather than some government guidelines. But in the UK, that same type of organization does three things. They say, this is the right way to practice. By the way, doctor, this is the way you will practice. And by the way, gosh, we run out of money, so if it costs too much, we're going to have to cut it out, and you will not get it.
Yeah, the whole cost-benefit analysis, I mean, the irony of that is one of the people pushing this the hardest, Senator Kennedy, probably wouldn't be getting the treatment that he's getting if we go to rationing care. Well, as I mentioned, our phone lines are lit up, so let's go ahead and take another call if you don't mind. Go ahead, Jim, it's your turn.
Hey, thanks a lot. Listen, you guys are hitting right on the nail here when you start talking about delivery systems. I work a little bit in the healthcare, home healthcare area. And, you know, one of the biggest issues is we're trying to solve a problem. If we take their numbers at face value, the whatever it is, the 40 million, the 50 million, you know, we're looking at 15% of the population that right now has access to emergency health care. They just don't have the preventative care. So we're going to put at risk 85% of the rest of us that have, you know, where I think a poll recently, most people are pretty satisfied with their health care. I mean, there could be some reforms here and there, but overall, we're going to put that at risk because the growth of doctors in our country has only been about 1% over the last 10 years. You can't throw money at this and just fix it because you have a delivery system. You have nurses and doctors and other health care professionals, the numbers are not on the increase, and if you start lowering the amount that they're reimbursed for their services, you're not going to get the increase in numbers and people who can actually deliver quality care, which leads to the rationing that you're talking about and the waiting lines like they have in other countries. This isn't a new game. This game's already been played and lost over in Europe and in Canada.
Exactly, and I think that that's one of the wonderful things that their website points out. If you go and you watch those ads that Conservatives for Patients' Rights have up, if you haven't seen them on television, you can check them out on the web at cprights.org. And I apologize, Rick, I jumped over you. Go ahead and respond to Jim's comments.
Well, absolutely. We ought to, the biggest thing Renee is saying, let's look at these other countries. And Jim, you're right, it hasn't worked in those countries, so why are we trying to emulate the other countries and have these shortages? Anytime the government gets involved in things, they either throw too much at it and create excess, or don't throw enough at it and create a shortage. How do they? They can't figure it out. The only way we can do this is allow you as an individual to spend your dollars well and allocate the dollars well. It's the only way it works.
Yeah, you create more competition within the system. I mean, if we've erred in any one certain way, is that most of us have no idea how much is being spent on our health. You know, we don't have any reason to worry about how much health care costs because the insurance
right.
takes care of it. But
right.
when we start, you know, if we had a system where, you know, we did a little more shopping around because we had more control of the actual dollar spent and we started becoming price conscious, it'd be different. Right now, we don't care.
Yeah, you just hit on two of the four pillars that Conservatives for Patients' Rights puts out there, and those are excellent points. Thank you for your call, Jim. We've got about a minute left. In that time, Mr. Scott, I'd like you to respond to how, if at all, will health care reform generally and Obamacare specifically impact innovation in medicine, because folks haven't even started looking at that issue.
Well, we're clearly the country of innovation in health care. We're clearly the country that does research in health care. So if we start restricting the dollars, then clearly we're not going to have the same research. We're not going to have the new drugs. And, you know, that all, you know, that's esoteric. But the truth is, it does impact people's lives every day when some drug that could have had an impact on your kid's life, your daughter's life, now is not going to be developed because we don't have enough money thrown into the system.
That's
and
right.
And it's not that we don't have enough money spent. We have, if we allocate the dollars well,
Rick, it's time for us to go. Rick, I apologize. It's time for us to go. Again, go to the website, take action. Go to Conservatives for Patients' Rights, cprights.org. Thanks, Rick. We appreciate it.